welcome to Not a Safe Space. This is Sabrina.
And Tabby.
Hey girl, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
Good. Happy holidays.
I know. It's almost Christmas for episode 19. How many more days?
Fuck if I know. I don't know. I'm so behind. As you know, we just came back went to New York City for Thanksgiving, and ever since then, we've been behind. So.
Oh, I bet.
One of my advice of a trip from New York or anywhere for Thanksgiving is, I think, put up your fucking tree before you leave.
I told you to do that, remember? I told you when you got back, you were not going to fucking want to put up your Christmas decorations.
And it's not even that we don't want to, but then you come home and you're in full holiday season of, I mean, you remember last episode we talked about the fact that our friend Doreen and Jen and I are trying to do so many fucking activities. Well, putting up the tree is one that we forgot about.
Yeah. It's kind of one of the main ones.
I know. So we feel behind on everything.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I completely have not put up my Christmas tree. I've not put up a single decoration. I am total anti-Christmas this year.
Why anti-Christmas? You said that in a message to me the other day. Why are you anti-Christmas this year?
I don't know. It's just sometimes I get this way throughout the years. Either I am either fucking 110%, you know, Christmas. I could put on the fucking elf uniform and be like, woo, Christmas. And this year, and I'm like, fuck Christmas and everyone around it. I don't know why, but I am like worse than the Grinch.
Really?
Yes.
So do you think that, are you going to put up one at all?
No.
Nope.
And normally I am very big on day after Christmas. Day after Thanksgiving, you spend the whole day putting up your Christmas decorations. And it's this whole big thing. Dion will tell you because it drives him crazy. I'm trying to lug shit out in the whole house. And he's like, oh, for fuck's sake. But this year, I'm just like, I don't want to. And he's like, what? What's wrong? He's like, no. He even offered to help. He's like, no, baby, we can go put this up. And I'm like, I don't want to. And he's like, what the fuck?
Right.
Yeah,
well,
like, no.
We came back from New York, Nate and the kids. Well, I had to fly to Fort Lauderdale almost immediately. So then Nate and the kids went and bought a tree. So we have a tree. We just haven't decorated it yet. So we're going to do it. We're doing it. So whatever.
Okay.
So update on Whamageddon. If you guys have been knocked out of the game, please let us know. I'm still going strong. Now, had some huge, big fucking moments. You can't walk in. Marshalls and TJ Maxx, danger zone.
Really?
And that's where I do most of my shopping. And when I was down in Lauderdale, I'm searching for a certain pair of jeans that I bought down there and my fat ass ripped. And so I went to five of those stores. And every time I walked in there, I found myself singing to Christmas songs. And then I was like, oh, fuck, it's only a matter of time till the song plays.
Right, before you get, yeah, it's like a bombshell.
Right. So then we quickly, I quickly ran through it and then ran back out of the store. And then all of these holiday events that we're all attending, all of us are playing the game. And so we've been kidding around. Like, it could be a massacre.
It could be.
Doreen, Alan, Jen, all of us out.
Yes, because they could just have a party and be like, hey, everybody come over. It's going to be so much fun. And they know you're playing the game. And as soon as everyone's there, bam.
Right. Or accidentally happen while we're looking at Christmas lights or something. Doe was smart and she checked out the music playlist to one of the events we attended first to make sure it wasn't playing.
Let me tell you what she did, though. She sent me the song.
Oh, she did?
She did, on a YouTube link. And I was like, please tell me I'm the only one you sent this to, because otherwise you're an asshole, because I'm not playing the game. I think she needed to get it out of her system. And she's like, no, only you. You know, so I was like, okay.
Well, Nate got out by, he was at the gas station. And he was in the gas station buying his Monsters and breakfast burritos. And all of a sudden he's singing, last Christmas, I gave you my heart. And then he's like,
oh,
fuck. And he looks down, his phone tells him what song is playing. And right. It was the official version and he was out.
Oh, man.
So he's out of the game. Everybody else in our house, I've heard the Taylor Swift version. I've heard the Jimmy Eat World version while we were in the airport. But so far, so good. So keep us updated, guys. Let us know if you've been knocked out.
Perfect.
A little more housekeeping. I just wanted to give it a shout out to one of our listeners, Jennifer M. I won't say her last name, but she graduated this weekend from the University of Washington with a bachelor's in criminal justice and a single mom, just out there fucking doing it. And so I just want to say congratulations. It's women like you, strong and independent, that inspire me and that I admire. And I sent her a little gift from the two of us from Not a Safe Space. So,
That's awesome. Yeah. We love women. We love badass women like that because that's exactly what she is.
We do, for sure. So congratulations, Jennifer. Very proud of you. You want to give a shout out for our holiday shoppers that are still scrambling? It looks like we've got about 10 more days here, a little less until Christmas. Yes.
So if you guys are looking for a gift, I have got something special. It is called The Burden of Trust. It's a book that I wrote. And it is about an arrogant actor who accidentally falls head over heels for a lesbian who has a dark and twisted past. It is the beginning of a trilogy. It is a great book. It makes a great gift. So go ahead over to Amazon and pick up a copy as well. And then also, if you have people that aren't necessarily book readers, but I also run a skincare company most people don't know about. It's called Rodana and Fields. They're the number one skincare company in the U.S., so if you have any kind of issues, wrinkles, acne, sensitive skin, blah, 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 you name it, I got a solution for it. So just either email me at notasafespacepodcast@gmail.com or you can DM me on any of our social media sites and I'll hook you up.
Perfect. So get out there, finish your Christmas shopping. I still have lots to do. My husband is helping this year, which normally he is completely out of.
Right.
He's normally just in charge of the stocking stuffer. So I'm thankful to have the help. We'll jump right in to our agenda today. I wanted to finally give just a little highlight on our New York trip. I know if everybody follows us on or follows me on Instagram or Facebook, I don't have to go over the day by day. Everybody saw it. My sister planned an amazing vacation for us. I sent her a list of everything we wanted to do. She broke it off by day, and we had a great time in New York City.
Wow. Awesome.
It was exhausting, though.
Yes. New York is very exhausting.
It was exhausting. And I think next year we've all decided that we want to go somewhere quiet and slow.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a constant thing, and the city never stops moving, and those people are going somewhere all the time.
Yeah, always.
Where the fuck are they going?
Well, probably to any one of the places you fucking went to.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Right. So it was a once in a lifetime experience for our kids, or once in a lifetime because I'm never taking them back. They could go when they grow up, but I feel like it's a one and done for us.
Okay.
Lorelai really enjoyed it. I think that she is made for New York City. She has the personality for it. She's a little, I don't know. She just blended in so well. She's fast paced and moving. And we were with our friend David a couple times and he kept having to grab her and be like, come on, New Yorker, slow down. Like,
right.
You're going to get lost in the crowd.
Right. Oh yeah. I can totally see, Lorelai fitting in New York. I mean, this is the girl when she was 8 years old, had a picture of dollar bills around her hair, laying down like peas with these cool sunglasses on. And I'm like, she's a fucking badass. And that's where she needs to be.
For real. So she, I told her about, the Fashion Institute up there and NYU. And so she was all into it. Ethan, on the other hand, poor kid, had to wear his Timberland boots for 5 or 6 days. And without he only brought one pair of shoes. He only wears boat shoes. His toes missed his boat shoes so badly.
He
liked it and he had a lot of fun, but he missed, like he kept saying, like he missed Southern hospitality and people smiling and nature and out. Like we saw squirrels and rats, but that was it.
Right. You saw the big sewer rats.
Yeah.
That looked like cats. If you weren't careful, you can mistake one of those fuckers for a cat.
Right. Which, oh God, by the way, on Thanksgiving, we had a very interesting Thanksgiving, one to remember, but the night ended with us watching a cat get run over by a car.
Oh.
And we're all trying to get to the subway and we're a little lost. And I'm like, oh, hey, look, a rat. And I was just kidding. It was a cat. And the cat went darting into the street, into traffic, and like swerved one way, missed the first car, went the other way, boom, got hit.
Oh.
Here comes the next car. Boom, got in front of all of us. And we're all going, no!
And I like cats.
Buried my face into Ethan's jacket. And for the first time all week, all of us. And so when I say all of us, it was my family plus Jamie and her son. We were quiet.
Mm.
And the cat landed next to us and started like flipping and flopping. And they said he had like one eyeball hanging out of his eye and his tongue out. And the boys... You know, normally my boys have a knife on them, but because we flew, they didn't have their knife. Because here's my fucking redneck kids going to slit the throat of the cat to save its life. But thankfully, it went pretty quickly. And then I can't help it. I was waiting for somebody to laugh.
There was nothing funny.
But nobody did. And as we were walking up the subway stairs, Jamie finally looked back at me and I just started laughing. And then Lorelai was like, I killed the cat.
How did she kill the cat?
She said, I yelled his name. And we said, you didn't even know his fucking name. And she said, I yelled, cat. And he stopped and looked. And we were like, you did not kill the cat, sweetie. Worst part was, it was the wrong train station. So then we had to walk past by. We named
was it still there?
Well, yeah, he was fucking dead. He didn't go anywhere. That was his
night. No, I had animal service came and like pick him up.
I don't think they do that in New York City. I bet that cat is still there.
No, they come and pick that shit up. They don't leave dead animals laying around.
That was definitely his ninth life. He's not coming back. Poor. And we called him Glenn because he had his eye from The Walking Dead. He had his eyeball hanging out. So rest in peace, Glenn. We'll always remember Thanksgiving because of you. Mm. Some of my other favorite parts is, you know, my kids, as you said, like Lorelai is such a unique individual and she's very independent. She doesn't really want much from me besides my money or my credit cards at this point. She's a daddy's girl. And then my son is a 6'5", 18-year-old, you know, trying to find his own way. But then on the airplane, I sat in the middle of them and both of them were really nervous. And so then Nate took a picture of Ethan, like, grabbing on him. He was holding my hand, and then Lorelai was holding on to my leg, and then I was holding on to the both of them. And so it was just like, aw, they still are my little babies.
Yeah.
Until they started invading my seat space.
Well, that's part of being your little babies. It's like, Mommy, I love you, protect me, and by the way, your personal space is no longer yours.
Because airplane passengers next to you would never do that. My daughter throws up the armrest, tosses her leg over my leg, and I'm like, ugh, really? This is how we're going to fly? Great.
Right. She's like, I don't need you except for money and your lap. Thanks, Mom.
Right. My other fun experience was that we went to Chinatown. And while we went to Chinatown, we wanted to eat dim sum, which is a Chinese, real true Chinese food where they bring out all these random little fucking plates. And I knew that Jamie was not going to like it.
No, not at all.
She doesn't even like regular Chinese food. So I knew that she wasn't going to like it, but we had to try it and we had to let our kids experience. I did it with my family in San Francisco 30 years ago, 20 years ago. I wanted my kids to do it. So we get a recommendation to the oldest dim sum parlor in Chinatown. Mm-hmm. There's a 30-minute wait. Next to it is this window sign that says $20 30-minute massages. And now it's freezing rain. And I was like, I'm fucking in. I was like, Nate, give me $20. And he was like, you're not really going in there, are you? And I was like, yeah, I am. I'll see you guys in 30 fucking minutes. So Jamie and I both go in there.
Okay.
And we go into a room together. We're signed up for a 30-minute massage. And Jamie starts taking off her clothes. And I'm like, wait, time out. What are we doing? And she was like, the girl said to take off her clothes. And I was like, we're doing, I was like, let me ask first. Because I'd hate for the people to come back in and we're butt fucking naked. And they weren't expecting that.
Right.
So, and we're in true Chinatown. Like, yeah. These fuckers barely speak English. So I open the door and I have a guy that's going to do my massage. And I'm like, we take off our clothes? And he was like, yeah. Just leave her. And he just points to the, you know, bottom or underwear on. And I was like, all right, we're fucking in. Let's do this. Okay. So Jamie and I take off everything except for our underwear. We lay down on the thing. They gave us this towel that was not big enough for my body to cover my body. So now I just had like this square over my ass. And the first lady walks in and I was like, I couldn't get it over me. Whatever. And she was like, I help. So she like put it over me a little bit. We get the massage and it was so good. These Asian people have the strongest, tiniest hands I've ever felt.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in more pain than I had realized. And it was divine. And so then we flip over. Oh, there's hot oil involved and there's steam towels. And I'm in. Jamie got some hot rocks on her.
Ooh.
We flip over it, and now I've got the world's smallest towel from right above my boob to maybe mid-thigh. Okay. And the guy kept, like, alternating between massaging me over the towel and then under the towel, which I would have just preferred under the towel. Let's be honest. Nobody wants to be massaged over this towel. But I think he was trying to be respectful to certain parts. Mm-hmm. So he's massaging my thigh with the towel over me. And all of a sudden, and my eyes are closed, and I could feel it happening.
Just fucking nipple.
Yeah, nipples out. So I like open with one eye, and I'm in my mind, I'm like, don't pull it up because that's going to make him self-conscious and that's going to make him feel nervous. So I'm like, just go with it. I mean, at this point, you're fucking tits out. Who cares? So he like pulled it back up, went to massage, popped back out, pulled it back up. That nipple jumped out. I think both of them were out at some point, a handful of times. So the massage is over with and we're done. And I asked Jamie, I'm like, did your tits come out? She was like, yeah, they sure did. I was like, mine too. And I was like, I think we probably just paid to end up on some internet porn site.
Probably so. That's why right. It was only $20.
Right. So worth it though. So worth it.
Yeah. The Asians really know how to massage. I'll tell you a story, but I'm not going to tell the name of the person who did this. So Okay. Someone went into an Asian massage place and was kind of, you know, nervous. And it was a guy and went in, right? And it was like, it wasn't one of a happy ending. So he goes in and they're like, oh, yeah. You take off your clothes, all the clothes. And he's like, and then go into the shower. And he's like, what? Go into the shower. And she's like, yeah.
Shower?
Yeah, to just like rinse off before the massage and goes, okay. So he's in there thinking, okay. Well, next thing you know is the Asian woman comes in there and she grabs the shower and cleans him from balls to asshole. Like, well, goes, whoosh, 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 like cleans him all fucking up. And next thing you know, it's like, whoa, what the hell? And it's like, oh my God. So, but then he goes in and he gets the best massage ever. And then, yeah, that was intense. So I was like,
I bet.
Yeah. I was like, well, that's interesting.
I wouldn't even know what to do. Where, you know, they say like, don't be polite or fuck politeness.
Right.
I don't even know. Like, I am speechless.
Yeah. I just went, I mean, talk about wow. I mean,
I didn't pay enough money for that.
No, you didn't. Maybe if you paid $30, you would have got your ass washed.
Right. I would have paid full price. Gosh darn it. So Well, it was, I'm disappointed now. Disappointed.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I love that. Well, those ones that have, what is it called? The happy ending.
Yes.
How do you know if you're in one of those places? Is it on the menu?
No, it's not on the menu. That's illegal. Happy endings are illegal.
I mean, it's not really sex, though.
Well, someone's having an orgasm.
Oh, yeah, true that.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, is there, like, a code? Like, we would have, like, winked? If Jamie and I both didn't have Botox, could we have, like, winked at them or something?
Well, like, I don't know. Do they give happy endings to women, or is it just for men?
Now, I did hear on a Brain Candy podcast that Sarah was in Thailand, and she got a happy ending.
Well, that's Thailand.
Yeah.
I mean, like, in the U.S. Do we get them in the U.S.?
I don't know. If you've had one before, let us know.
And yeah, secretly, I do want it. And please let us know where.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Secretly DM me the location.
Right.
I might be interested.
So, maybe.
The only other thing that I'd bring up is that I feel like New Yorkers are all so serious. Like I said, I felt like they were all going somewhere. None of them smile. None of them say hello. None of them say, how are you doing? On the subways, it's so, besides the crazy people, like, which are normally homeless people, nobody talks.
No.
And I don't do well in quiet, and either does Jamie. And so we were the crazy people that were singing and talking and, you know, from the movie Ghost, where the guy goes, get off my train. And he's so we were doing all of that because I can't sit in silence. And our kids were cracking up and they were embarrassed, but I refuse to let them steal my sunshine.
Well, the New Yorkers are quiet because they live there and it's constant nonstop. So when you get on the train, it's actually a little bit of downtime, which is why they
like a break.
It's like, oh, okay, you get a little bit of, and then, because you know, the moment you get off that train, it stops. It's fucking hustle. Let's go, let's go, let's go,
yeah,
let's go,
everywhere.
Let's go. There's no slow. You got to go.
Yeah.
Or you're going to get ran over.
Oh, yeah, for real. You really will. Like, that was one of the things I had told the kids and Nate beforehand is we just keep walking.
Yep.
We'll figure out how to get there, but don't fucking stop.
No.
So overall, great time. We'll see where we go next year. We did like going away for Thanksgiving. We'll pre-prep for Christmas beforehand so we're not behind and go somewhere a little slower, I think. I think that's more our speed.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, just checking.
I was a little late.
right.
I just sneezed and my brain had to catch up, so that's all.
Well, talking about brains, I'm going to mention that you set me up. I went to...
Set you up?
We both were traveling down south last week.
Oh, yes, I did.
Tabby posted, go ahead and you share, and then I'll share my experience there.
So every time that I go to South Florida, it is a hard line stop requirement that I stop at this little deli called V&S Deli. And the reason why we stop is because they have this sandwich. It's called the V&S Special. And my God, it is the subs of life. That is how good this sub is. I got pissed at Dion. And let me tell you why. So we were driving down to South Florida. And by the time that we were passing Boca area, I was like, are you getting hungry? It's lunchtime. He's like, you want me to take you to V&S? I was like, yes, that would be awesome. And I'm all excited, right? Well, we get talking and talking and talking. Well, next thing I know, he's like, oh shit, didn't realize how far out of gas we are. So the thing is blinking zero, no gas, and we have to get off the 95 and go get gas or whatever, and we were worried we weren't going to make it. Well, he had already passed Boca. Now we're down in Fort Lauderdale. I'm like, you motherfucker. I am
right.
He's like, do you want me to turn around? I was like, yes, I fucking want you to turn around. And then he's like, well, we can't because, you know, we had dinner reservations. Like, so gave it to me on the way back. But this V&S sub is so amazing that I told Dion that if his cum tasted like this, I'd suck him dry. And as for everybody knows, I fucking cannot stand balls or male cum. No, that's just, it's just gross. So that could tell you how fucking amazing this shit is.
So Tabby posts on Facebook and checks in to VNS subs. And like I said, we both happened to be, I mean, we were basically just passing each other for a couple days between Fort Lauderdale, Boca, Stewart. Like I went as far as Stewart, Jupiter area.
Okay.
And I went to Stewart and then I had to run back to Fort Lauderdale. And I was like, all right, I'm going to stop in Boca and grab this sub. Well, then I get a message from somebody that says, I need you here by 1 o'clock. And I'm like, motherfucker. So I have to drive past it. And then my next meeting is for, an hour and a half? And I was like, I don't care. Going back up to Boca. So I go up to Boca. It's a 30-minute drive to try out this sub. I walk in, and I love deli. I love deli meat. I love deli sandwiches. And that's why I'm all in, right? So I walk in, and there's gorgeous fucking Guido Italians, like 8 of them behind the counter. And now I'm taken aback, and I'm like,
you're welcome.
Hi. Hello. And it looks more like a meat shop than a deli sandwich place, right? Because they have meats in the counter and or in the cabinets and they've got food and all. So now, and they don't have a big sandwich menu. So now I'm a little confused and very distracted by all the different size Italians. They come tall and short and, but all of them big and all of them, you know, Italians have this great confidence in person and they haven't even spoken to me yet. And I'm just, hi, hi. And so this one comes up to the counter and he's shorter than me, but he was so fucking hot. Right. So I was like, well, I was told to get the VNS special with red peppers. And he was like, what size do you want? And I said, well, how big's the large? Or no, I said, how big is it? And he goes, about 11 inches. And I was like, and then he realized what he said and he like smiled at me and I was like, I'm gonna need a minute, hold on 1 second. And I like walked away because I didn't want to laugh. And he was like, do you want the small? And I was like, no, I can handle the large.
There you go. You should have been like, I could handle 11 inches,
right? So I completely had dick on the brain and first of all, the sandwich was fucking amazing.
Right?
Delicious. It was everything you said it would be. I had it fully loaded, ate it the rest of the day, basically, and we'll definitely go back every time I'm up there now.
Exactly, right? I mean,
And the eye candy, delicious as well. And then he tried to talk to me about what I do for a living, and I just couldn't at that point. I was like, look, I gotta get out of here.
Right.
I got to get out of here. You guys are just too much for me.
Oh, yeah. No, I thoroughly enjoy that place. And I love that it's super small. They have one little bar stool and like 3 seats outside and that's it.
There's no place.
And during lunchtime, there's a freaking line out the block.
For sure. Well, I can see why. And that's what one of the customers yelled at me as I was leaving. He was like, is that your first one? And I said, yes. And he was like, you'll always come back.
Yes, you will.
Yeah, and they were right.
Yeah. And you got the toasted, the sesame bread, the hard bread. Oh, my gosh. And we talked to the guys because it's family owned. They're from New York. And they actually make their bread there in-house. And they ship the water from New York.
Really?
To make their bread, yes. That's why it tastes so good.
Oh. Well, that's different.
It's all about the water.
Hopefully it's not from the Hudson River.
No. Oh, my God. It's from the glaciers.
Right.
Well, I'm sure you noticed when you were in New York, the bagels, the pizza, anything with dough was amazing. I mean, even the street pizza.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really good. So if anybody's in the Boca area, go to VNS Deli. Recommended from Tabby. It will not disappoint you.
It will not, I promise. But she got to make sure to have the roasted red peppers on it.
Oh, yeah.
That is a key.
Yeah, it was delicious. So, all right. Well, let's jump into some stuff. So, on Twitter this week, the Peloton commercial was trending. So, as people may not know, the Peloton is an exercise machine that most of us probably can't afford. It's a $2,500 exercise bike, which I just believe that any of that stuff you buy, nobody ever uses. I mean, nobody ever uses. I've owned a treadmill, a elliptical, all that crap.
And what did you do with it? You hang your fucking clothes from it.
Right. It's a very expensive towel rack. So the ad that came out shows a woman's year-long fitness journey after her husband gives her one as a gift. Mm-hmm. And it received all these, let's see, it says, so the commercial shows her like video blogging, her journey on this bike. Now, the girl is, what, 116 pounds?
Right. She's very skinny.
Right. And so all the Twitter goes off about how this is a sexist gift and that it says maybe you should lose a few pounds, like gifting your already rail thin life partner a Peloton. Look, I don't want to be the Peloton guy anymore, but the newest commercial vlogging 116 pound woman's year long journey to become 112 pounds, who says, I didn't realize how much this would change me. It's just ridiculously damn stupid. Come on. So the Today Show talked about it, mm-hmm. and the women were going off about how this was a ridiculous gift. This was a ridiculous ad. I don't think it's so bad.
No. So look, first of all, maybe the wife wanted the Peloton. Okay. Right. Maybe she went straight up, hey, honey, this is exactly what I want. So he got her what she wanted. What's so fucking wrong with that? Right.
Right.
And then second of all, guess what? Just because she's skinny doesn't mean that she's not healthy. She could have been anorexic or bulimic. And now she's trying to get herself healthy, right? Maybe she doesn't have any stamina. So it could easily be about health, not necessarily about weight, right?
Right. I think that's a huge deal. And so Al Roker said in the article that I had sent you with the video, uh-huh. he asked, like, are we body shaming this woman?
Reverse body shaming.
Right. And yeah. both women shut him down and said, no, no, no. And he almost said it like he was quieter than the rest of them. But yes, I think that they were because
yeah,
I was at my lowest weight. I was under 150 pounds and I went to open a bottle of beer. And I couldn't do it because I was thin with no fucking muscle.
Right.
So who
weren't like, healthy.
Right. So like you said, she might have been 116 pounds, but not healthy. And maybe, like you said, she's never committed to something for a year-long journey, to exercise for 5 days a week, to whatever her commitment was to this bicycle and this blogging. For us to look at it and say, well, you can only be fat to use this.
You know, and yeah, so we're criticizing skinny women for exercising. I mean, that's just being bullshit.
Right, because health is in the inside, right? It's if we're supposed to tell everybody that it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, well, your healthiness is in the inside and how strong your heart is. Like you said, with their stamina and cardio and
yeah,
all of that has to do with her insides.
Nothing to do with her outside. And there are women out there that are just naturally super skinny.
Right. And it doesn't mean that they're healthy.
No, it doesn't.
Right. And so to shame a woman who wants this bike to start living a healthy lifestyle is ridiculous.
Wrong.
Right.
You know, give me a break. This is part of the problem. Every woman's like, Me Too movement. This is so fucking sexist and da 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 da. When it's not, find something that's really about real sexism, not this, because this is bullshit. And not only that, but let's be real. And you know, I don't know if you heard it on that the video that you sent me. Did you hear them when they said that the Today Show, their parent company, owns part of Peloton? So notice they weren't really trying to say exactly how they felt about that.
Yeah, I think they said Comcast owned part of Peloton and then Comcast is owned by NBC or something like that. But there's
right.
a connection in there somewhere. I think that people need to be very careful when you're body shaming is body shaming no matter what. If you're going to shame somebody for being overweight and then like you said, there's some women that are just naturally thin. And then right. we look at them and say, oh, eat something. Fuck you.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know what? It's like it's constant double standards. It's constant rhetoric. And it's all depending on who wants to scream about what at the moment. It's right. just fucking bullshit.
So this makes me think about when you said double standards. I pointed out to my son and I went to a football game this weekend, and we were talking about dad bods. And pointing out these big protruding bellies. And I told him, I said, why is it that there's these big overweight men and they have these skinny, good-looking wives, but an overweight woman has, I don't think it's money. Tabby's making a money sign.
Dollar bills, y'all.
No, I think that there's a double standard. A big man is looked at differently than a big woman. A big woman is lazy and fat and unhealthy. A big man is protective and a big bear and this. So why do we look at a man's body and we're okay with it, but we look at a woman's body and say, ooh, she should probably exercise some? Motherfuckers, put down your beer and exercise.
Okay, so I agree with you to a point. And let's go ahead. So men that are big, and I'm talking tall and big stances, not your guys that are short and fat, right? Okay, do you know what I'm saying? So guys that are bigger and have the broader stance, women are typically more attracted to that because biologically, they will be able to protect you in a violent situation. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I mean? So if somebody, you know, the tiny little guy, the short little guy, normally is, you don't feel like he's going to be able to protect you if something goes wrong, someone tries to harass you.
Well, I don't think, so I understand with what you're saying about that you look at a man and you find stability and protection within him. Right. And that a smaller man, you would assume that they can't. But if you look at fucking Asian ninjas, they're all small, 5 foot fuckers that can karate chop somebody, right? Or small Latino men that are smaller size and stature. But as a,
but
as
they're
a
not
mother,
bad.
Right. But as a mother of, like, say in our Filipino society, like, I've seen moms look at their boys that are what we call matabat. They're fat, right? Well, that's their baby boys. And, oh, he's so chubby. He's so cute. But then if their daughters get like that, it's, oh, she's matabat. Oh, that big one. The big one needs to lose weight. Like, that's, there's a double standard when you look at a man's body compared to a woman's body. And right. these men aren't big and fit. The men that Ethan and I were looking at are big, fat, beer-bellied men.
Okay.
Where then their wives are the one constantly trying to lose weight and nobody's saying anything to the man like, put it down and exercise.
Men are not, they are not required to be as healthy as women are. But women, I mean, we have a, there's a visual image status that comes along with women because we are feminine.
Well, there is.
Because we're feminine. Men are attracted to visual, right? Men. Mm-hmm. So in order to be an attractive woman, to attract a mate, you have to be pretty to attract him in. So we focus on the external. And that goes from being too skinny, from being too fat, to being your hair, to how much makeup you wear, to what you're wearing, how you're presenting yourself. All of these things come into play into attracting a mate. You, for example, judge people based off of their nail polish.
I judge people based on everything. And I'm judging all of these men based on their looks. Because, like we said, health is inside, right?
Right.
You guys are fat fuckers and unhealthy. And I don't want your fat body on top of mine.
And good for you.
I can't breathe, motherfucker. Get off of me.
Right. It's about health.
Right. And so, and but with a woman... Oh, they're gross, and she's that fat girl. That you guys are fat, too.
Oh, yeah, they're totally fat.
It's so gross. I hate it.
And you call them out on it.
I do constantly.
Yes, there is the fat shaming. Mm-hmm. But there's also this obesity glorification as well that goes on. Mm-hmm. That we also inspire women to go out and... You're fat. That's great. Be you and da 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 da. And we glorify instead of going, hey, maybe you need to get healthy and cut out the McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
If you've noticed, in the public eye, there are a lot of larger females that are, you know, that are bigger. Lizzo, huge. All her dancers, huge women, right? You put men on the stage, all those men have to be skinny and sexy.
Not true, because you have rappers like Fat Joe and Biggie and everybody else that are big, fat...
fuckers.
Yeah, they're fat fuckers, but they're teddy bears and this and that, where Lizzo...
I don't see them like that.
You don't think so? Well, no, I don't know why it's okay for men to be overweight... and women have to look a certain way.
I don't think it's okay for men to be overweight. I don't think it's okay for... Now, let's rephrase this comment, overweight. If you are healthy and you are a naturally big-boned person and you end up being larger, right? That's one thing. I'm not saying everybody has to be a size zero. But right. I'm saying everybody should be healthy. So when you've got a man... that's fucking fat and protruding, and you can tell he's completely unhealthy. I find nothing attractive about it. And I don't want, that's not someone I'm running to want to go flirt and have sex with. Now, this hot fireman over here who's got all the abs and rawr, fuck yeah, I'm like, hey, let me do my hair.
Right. But, you know, the firemen are unrealistic, right? I mean, let's be real. Most men, it takes a lot of work to get your body to look like that. Even me at the weight I'm at now, in order to get the cut of muscle, I'd have to change my diet 100%. I'm not willing to do that. I'm healthy the way I am. Blood pressure's better than ever. I'm great. But men, like you see, and this is like, I've seen couples on Facebook, and I really like the ones that will work out together. Because most of the time when people gain weight in a marriage, they do it together, right? Men and women are gaining weight together.
Yes.
The problem is, it's the woman with the fat shaming and the insecurities inside. But a man can hold that stature with no problem. Because now, even the fact of a dad bod is something that we're supposed to be celebrating. When, let's be honest, a dad bod comes in your 30s because you've stopped the activities of your 20s.
Yep.
And you're sitting at home, which means you're letting your body go.
Correct. Which, that's nothing to celebrate.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, that part is a little hypocritical. And I would have, and would we have felt the same way if they would have put some dad bod on this bicycle and then showed his journey? And would women have been like, well, there's nothing wrong with him. That's a great body. I mean, he's a dad of, or whatever it might be.
Right.
Like, it's okay for that. Like, they'd much rather see a fat girl on that bike and an unrealistic result of a journey of 1 year where all of a sudden the fat chick is 100 pounds less, which isn't realistic, but let's get all these overweight women to buy this bicycle for $2,500.
Right. That.
Because women need to work on the way they look and not men.
Well, it's a fantasy.
It's unrealistic.
It is. But most women focus more on their bodies than men do.
Mm-hmm.
They do. And when it comes to exercise equipment, most of the time, the person who's purchasing it is the woman. Not necessarily, it's not the man.
Right. I agree with that. But I do believe that's because society and the way is... that women are supposed to look a certain way, and that a larger woman has less respect than a larger man, which is unfair. Okay. And I don't feel like that. I literally just pointed people out. Like, that's disgusting. But right. Every single one of them were married to or connected with this hot ass girl or this good looking girl.
Okay.
But if you looked at the opposite of the bigger women,
mm-hmm.
They all had either no man and they were all with their friends, or they had an ugly man. And it's just because we look at men differently. Men are allowed to have this extra weight on them because it is a security thing. It is right. This big fella. He is going to keep us safe. He can keep us safe. Well, guess what? He's going to die of a fucking heart attack in 20 years. And then you're going to have to go find yourself a new one.
And that's exactly right. So really, she's using this big fat man who's unhealthy for her own security. And when he fucking dies of a heart attack because she kept him fat and happy, then she's just going to go out and find another one. So really, who's the real victim here?
Right, right. Well, I don't feel sorry for them. They can make their own choices and put the same pressure on themselves that women put on ourselves to look and feel a certain way. And men need to jump on the fucking train as well.
You need to be healthy. And that's what it really boils down to is right. health. You know, if your husband is overweight and isn't healthy and you truly love him, you should be going and saying, look, you need to change some things because I love you and I want you to be around forever. So we need to make some changes.
Right. I agree with that. I think this is a good time. Let's switch to the fact that you and I have discussed a little bit about starting a weight loss challenge goal for 2020. I think this is a good time to switch to that. And we're welcoming our fans and our followers and men and women to join us in this goal. Yep. And whatever that goal might be. So let's jump into that. And why don't you start off with it?
So for the weight loss challenge, you know, my goal in the next year is to get down to a size 8. Right now, I am a size 16, mm-hmm. which most people wouldn't know that just looking at me.
No, you couldn't tell that. Yeah.
No. And I want to get down to 135 pounds. I am 5'3". And right now I'm 153 pounds. So I mm-hmm. am about 20 pounds overweight. And it's all in my ass and my thighs. Mm-hmm. So I want to get healthier. I really do. I have my stamina is shit. I have to take a nap every single day. Can't keep up. Coffee, you know, works, but it just gives me false energy. It's not real because I crash. So, and this is really, really hard for me. Weight is a super huge issue, and I am very insecure about it. As a kid, I was diagnosed with hyperthyroidism. What that means is my thyroid was very overactive. So they didn't find it until I was 13. So I was bouncing off the walls. I had thin hair, thin nails. I was eating like crazy, and I was super skinny. I mean, I was skinny, which I loved, right?
Right.
Because I was so active and I was like, oh my God, I can do this and I can do here and all of this sort of stuff. And then they found out I had hyperthyroidism. And so then we had to go get tested and I had to make sure I didn't have cancer, and which I didn't. And then something happened as I got older. My thyroid hormones, which control a lot of your body, basically ran out. I have no natural hormones. So now I've been put on Synthroid, which gives me thyroid hormones, because now I'm hypo, which means my thyroid is underactive, okay. which means I have no more energy, which means I gain weight and I can't take it off. And I get very tired and lethargic. And if I get off my meds, you can't get me out of bed for a week. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking, oh, I just don't want to get up. I mean, I will get up and I'll spend about 30 minutes doing something and then I'll have to go back to sleep. That's how tired it makes it. But it also comes with weight gain. And as a kid who was super skinny, didn't have these problems, I was like, oh, well, I know I'm eating bad shit as a kid, but I'll just deal with it when I'm old. It's no big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm old now. I'm 37 years old. I've developed horrible eating habits. I crave really bad food, and I just don't know how to take it off. Exercise is like, I hate it, the idea of exercising. I hate mm-hmm. it. I don't know why. It feels wrong or fake or forced. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So
yeah.
It's really hard for me to get past the mentality break mm-hmm. is really what it is. It's like, I want to lose weight. I want to get back to where I used to be, but I just can't fucking do it. I don't know where the block is coming from.
So I have a couple questions. The uh-huh. the numbers that you stated, a size 8 and then 135, you said,
mm-hmm.
how have you picked those numbers?
Size 8 was back when I was just starting college, mm-hmm. right? So I have big hips. I understand that my body probably won't go smaller than a size 8. I'd be very happy with a size 8. And 135 is a normal weight for me. Like, I've been a 135 before and felt healthy and felt good about myself. And so that's where I want to get back to. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not trying to make unrealistic goals. I'm not trying to say I need to be 120 pounds. You know, right. I'm almost 40 years old. 120 pounds for my body style isn't realistic, despite what they say.
And then how does your weight feel to you right now, mentally?
Oh, I feel fat. So, like, mm-hmm. when we started this podcast, like, just seeing myself on camera and seeing the double chin and the bigger cheeks, and that's not even including what's down below, you know, I was very critical of myself. It was mm-hmm. very hard. And Dion's like, you gotta stop this. He's like, you're beautiful. He's like, of course he loves me where I am, but I'm going, this doesn't look like me. I don't want to look in the mirror. This is not me. That I'm like, where's my 15-year-old self?
And I would say more than it doesn't look like you is that you're probably saying to yourself that it doesn't feel like me.
Right.
Like, the way that you feel inside and the way that you feel that you see yourself on the outside, it feels foreign to you, right?
Right. Like, yeah. I'm looking at me and I'm like, well, this doesn't look like how I feel.
Right. Right. What keeps you from work? I know you said you didn't like it. What's keeping you from working out and changing your eating habits now?
Weakness. Mm-hmm. Let's be real. I make excuses in my head. I'm busy. I don't have time to exercise. Or I go, oh, I'll just do stuff around the farm as an exercise instead. And then end up like, oh, well, I don't have time to get to that. I'll do that tomorrow. And, you know, that sort of thing. And then, you know, it's having the bad food in the house. I am extremely addicted to carbs.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. I love my potatoes. I love my pasta. And it's not just, oh, I can have a small portion. It's like, no, you get some really good pasta in front of me and I'm like, oh my right. God, I can't stop eating. It's like a drug.
And I know haven't you tried like different diet fads and things? What have you tried?
I tried the keto diet. I fucking blew up. Made me fatter. Because apparently getting rid of all those carbs for my autoimmune disease doesn't work. I mean, I gained weight. I'm like, well, that didn't fucking work. And right now what I'm trying to do is I got my little Fitbit on and I'm watching my calories and trying to exercise a little more, walk around, you know, get to my steps and stay in my 1200 calorie day.
Do you know how much you eat a day? Are you like, can I pull up your FitnessPal right now and look at it? You're keeping track of it?
I started keeping track of my my food intake and what I eat every day. And while I've been drinking my water, I haven't been logging in my water. So, but yeah, I have been doing that and I feel a little bit different. It feels better. It was like after dinner, it's like, oh, let's have dessert. I went, nope, I can't. I'm already at my calories.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, you know, I can cut out the sweets. Sweets aren't the problem. It's the pasta.
Right. And do you, with your autoimmune disease, do you know what, because like you said, when you went keto, it had the opposite effect on you. Have you spoken to your physician to see what's recommended for you so you know?
So good amount of lean meats, fruits and vegetables, fresh is always best. I'm supposed to exercise at least 30 minutes a day, minimum 4 times a week.
Mm-hmm. Minimum. And what are you doing now?
None. I'm counting my calories. That's it. I mean, I'm trying to get the exercise in. You know, I was doing Beachbody and I was doing Shanti for 20 minutes because I'm going to be really honest with you. The videos, like the long videos, I dits out. I'm like, what the fuck? I can't concentrate longer than that on it.
Right. And I like a 20, 30 minute video.
Right.
I think that's a perfect amount of time to get your heart rate up and do something. What would you like? How do you see? Because you had mentioned to me before about starting a challenge. What does that look like to you? If we're going to put this out there and start a challenge. And I know I've personally received messages from our friends, Nash. And when I say our friends, I'm talking about our listeners, about like, oh, right. I wish you lived closer so we could keep each other accountable. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen, we can.
Right.
So how does that look to you?
I would love to create an accountability group, maybe on Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. A Not a Safe Space weight challenge. And everybody puts in their pictures and tells us what you're doing and your progress, whether it's good or bad. We need to talk about the hard days and what was hard and why it was hard for us. You know, for me, it's, did I overcome my excuses, which I'm so good at giving. Someone else, I can be like, come on, let's go, let's do this, it's great. But me, I'm like, no.
Yeah. And I think that's why I love a good 30-minute video is there literally is zero excuse to why we can't get 30 minutes of some type of exercise in. You also don't need any equipment to do that. I think that that's a great starting point. I think that more than calling it a weight loss challenge, like I'm all in for being involved too, not because I want to lose weight, but just like the lady on the Peloton, is that I want my body to be strong and lean and
healthy.
Right. And like, you know, like your mother-in-law said to me one day, well, you work out all the time. Well, that's not true. I'd work out 30 minutes every day and lift weights maybe 4 or 5 times a week. But then maybe there's sometimes, like right now, honestly, since New York, I kind of considered all those extra steps I take to carry over. Right. So I'm like, I'm good for 2 weeks.
Now, mind what you ate over in New York. I mean.
Right. So, you know, consistency is what I need, which I think was, you know, what the lady in that Peloton commercial needed was consistency of, did you get up and give your 30 minutes to yourself?
That's the hardest part for me. I can't. It's like, I just can't get started.
I think that this is a great idea. I think we should make it more than just losing weight, that it's got to be something of some type of challenge of loving yourself, of becoming a healthier you, and right. what that might mean to you. You know, we have listeners of all shapes and sizes that maybe just want to start being healthier.
And share recipes, yeah. like healthy, really good recipes, because that tends to also be the biggest downside of it.
Right. Well, I think, so that's the important thing is that when it comes to, so yes, I've had gastric bypass. So everybody could say that I'm sitting from this throne of it was fucking easy. The difference is once you're outside of the first 2 years of gastric bypass, your pouch, you can get as fat as anybody else. You can gain weight just as easily as everybody else, which I did. I gained over 30 pounds in a course of 2 to 3 years. And then the way that I lose weight, I no longer have a magic tool.
Right.
I can still eat the bad stuff all day long. I could just eat a little bit, but I can still take a bag of Doritos. And it doesn't matter if I'm eating it all in one serving or throughout 24 hours, I'm still eating the same way everybody else is, which is bad.
Yep.
And so since January 1st, I've lost 31 pounds and there's no keto, there's no Atkins, or I don't even know if Atkins is a thing anymore. Or
it still is, or Weight Watchers.
Yeah, or magical shakes or anything like that. It truly is 30 minutes of exercise, 5 minutes or 5 times a day. Monday, I only do it Monday through Friday. I'm not doing it on my weekends because that's the break for me, right?
Right.
And it is watching my calorie intake and tracking my calorie intake and being honest of my calorie intake. I use my Fitness Pal to do that.
Right.
And make it public. Because okay. if you make it public, then everybody can see what you ate that day. And if you're lying in that app, you're only lying to yourself, right?
Right.
And I don't think that somebody who loves carbs should not eat carbs. I think, you know, I love bread. My weakness is more potato chips and dips and junk food.
Right.
But like I eat more carbs in the morning because I know my body will burn it throughout the day than I would at night. However, if I'm going to have spaghetti some night, I'll just measure it out. And that's all I'll allow myself. Or if I know that I'm going to have spaghetti that night, I'll make better choices in the morning and lunch so that I can have that carb and not feel terrible about it, right?
Right.
So I don't think, and it's not good, and you already know that cutting all that stuff out isn't good. And then plus it makes us want it, and then we eat it, and then we feel bad. Yes. And then we say, well, I already fucked up my day. I might as well have a cookie. I might as well have dessert. And now you've overdone it.
And then now you have all this extra shit. So then when you go back to your better diet, then now you're detoxing again.
Right. And then I think, you know, everybody, there's a couple things I don't like when everybody always says, like, we'll just start on a Monday. No, fuck it. Let's start tomorrow. Yeah, start tomorrow. Start today. Start whatever you want. I'm excited about this. I think that we need to put a little more thought into what it looks like, and that you and I can keep each other accountable. I mean, we record weekly, right? So we can be honest.
Yeah, just tell people. Be like, hey, this is where I am. I fucking gained 2 pounds.
Right. And so when I was in New York, somebody asked me what I did for a living and asked me if I was, what was it? A lifestyle coach.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was like, no, I don't even believe in those things. That's somebody just telling you to do what you said you're going to do.
Yes.
And my son and I were talking about it. And I said, I am, like, when I decided to stop drinking, I put it out there. Because I wanted for any person that saw me with a drink to be like, hey, I thought you said you stopped drinking. Or when I decided to run my first Gate River run, to put it out there and to keep posting that I was working out. Because right. I wanted people to keep me accountable. I wanted my friends on Facebook and my family to keep me accountable. And I think that that's something that you should do as well, and that we should all do, right? To say, hey, we're doing this and let's go.
Yep. I think we should.
Because I think that the more people you involve and the more people that are encouraging you through it, you also feel like you can't let them down, right? You don't want egg on your face. I mean, that's the way I always feel. Like, I don't want people to be, I don't have to say to people, oh, you know what? It didn't happen. Whatever.
Right.
Like
then you look like an asshole.
Right. Right. And so then I also think, you know, the first 10 to 15 pounds are the hardest. I might have lost 31 pounds since January, but I honestly barely lost any weight January through April.
Why is that? Like, you know, I'm on the calorie thing that I'm supposed to be losing 2 pounds a week, and it feels like I'm barely moving an ounce.
Right. And I think that's the hard part, right? Because though you see it, you're doing all this work on the food side, you're doing all this work on the exercise side, and then the scale is barely moving. And so most of us give up.
Right.
And we let our cheat days become our normal days, and then we'll start again on June 1st. I'll start working on my summer body on whatever day. We have to get you through that first 10 to 15 pounds. Because I think whenever you're at that 10 to 15 pounds, you become very protective of it. And you don't want to go back. And then you start to feel good because exercise is starting to feel a little bit easier.
I can see that, because after I had been doing the Shaun T for a little bit, it was getting better. I was feeling stronger. I could start doing the push-ups and that sort of stuff. But then I was like, oh, I felt good. And then I got off and then I kept off. And now I went back once, and then I haven't gone back again, because when I went the last time, I went, good God, I feel like I'm dying because I got weaker.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand that. And I think, you know, like I said, for me, I have this out, right? So I've been toying around with getting a Brazilian butt lift, where they transfer your fat from like your legs or your arms into your butt and create this more rounded butt, because that's most of the exercise.
Would you like some of my fat? Cause I have lots of fat, especially my ass, that I can give you too.
Right. But see, this is the problem. If I do that, then I lose my reason why I'm working out. And then I'm just going to be thin, no muscle mass Sabrina again, which I don't want to become. Right. So I think that if we're both doing this challenge and we're helping each other exercise and keep our insides healthy, your outsides will naturally reflect that. And yep. we have the perfect platform to create a challenge and keep each other accountable.
I love it. I need it because I definitely need accountability because I can talk myself out of anything.
Right. Well, you have the worst friend here for that because there's nothing right. more that I hate than an excuse.
Oh, good. Well, that's what I need.
Right. Because listen, everybody's got 30 fucking minutes. Everybody. I have found myself on the couch before and not have worked out and 9 o'clock at night and went and grabbed my weights and while the mm-hmm. guys are watching a movie and just started to work out next to them and finished upper day. And I would have let the day just get away with me and been like, oh, fuck it.
Right.
So there's zero excuses allowed.
Okay. Work on that with me because I got good ones. I'm like, I'm okay. tired. My knees hurt.
Right. Well, so I get that. My fucking my right hip has been killing me.
Really?
Yeah, because I was overweight for so long. My hip feels it, but I got to keep pushing through. So, okay, well, good. Well, we'll talk about it more. We'll start something. We'll start a Facebook group. I would love to hear what other people are interested in doing and being involved in. This will be great. I think we should start this for the new year and keep it okay. pushing through.
Perfect. I love this idea.
All right. Great. All right. Let's see. What's next on the list? Oh, hey, did you see Justin Timberlake had to make a public apology?
No.
Yeah.
What did he have to do?
Well, Justin Timberlake makes a public apology to his wife, Jessica Biel, for holding his co-star's hand. It says, I drank way too much that night. I regret my behavior. I should have known better. Photos emerged last month showing the star holding hands with co-star Alicia Wainwright during a night out. So the pictures, it was from a Zoom lens, and they are holding hands underneath the table like this.
Okay.
And so for him, I don't like it.
No.
Holding hands to me, I would have felt better maybe if they kissed, right? Got drunk and kissed. Holding hands is so intimate.
It can be. And it's not like he was holding her hand to walk her down a red carpet because they were in this movie together.
So that's what I thought at first because I was like, oh, that's no big fucking deal. Give me a break. But then when I saw the zoomed in pictures and their hands are underneath the table, which means, you know, he was probably caressing it and they were
There's at least an emotional affair going on.
Right. There's some type of connection and I don't think that they're finished filming yet. How would you feel as his wife?
Pissed. I'd be pissed.
Because then what could she do, right? He's probably under contract for whatever movie this is. Right. I'm going to guess that he's a lead and she's a lead, which means there's going to be kissing involved. Oh, yeah. As a wife, what do?
You back away.
You think so?
Yep. Nope. As the wife, I would back away and watch and see what he does.
Right.
Because if he wants to be with me, he'll be with me. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't, he's going to move on to this one. So you just back away and you watch.
Right.
That's what I would do. I'd be like, okay, I want to see what you're going to do. Right. I don't want to hear. And it's not about the public statements. And it's not about what he goes and says to the media. It's what he does at home.
I think that's great advice.
Yeah. You back away. Because actions speak louder than words. And if he wants to be with you, he will be with you. That is a core characteristic of a man. When he wants to be with a woman, he will do what is necessary to be with the woman he wants to be with.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And I think that's great advice, right? So if you see it, and no matter if you're Jessica Biel or not, but you get a red flag like this as a woman, I would say, I don't think it means you necessarily throw away your marriage right away, right? But
no.
You start planning. You start emotionally prepping your mind for, does this advance further? How am I going to handle this? If this is leading to him having an affair, I have to start prepping myself mentally and financially.
Correct. And it is also, you step back and see where his heart is. Right. And you don't get mad and you don't get angry. You just go, okay, wait a minute. he's holding her hand. Let me give him the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
Yeah, you got caught in the media. Yup, you sure did. You made a public apology. Great. But what is he doing at home? And I would want him to see what he does at home, not based on perhaps her irrational reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if the wife is angry and she's screaming and rah, da, da, he's going, no, baby, oh, da, 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 and then tells you everything you want to hear. But if you're quiet and he doesn't think he's in real trouble, what does he do?
Right.
Does he come and apologize and, you know, and go, baby, it was a one-time deal. I'm really sorry, you know, and then make steps to making the relationship better? Or does he just keep on working and focusing on her and not necessarily the wife and, you know, see what what he does?
Right. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. I think I have a bad feeling that if that photographer didn't catch them, he might have or had already an affair.
Correct.
I don't think, and I can imagine a man or even a woman saying, we were just holding hands, it's not a big deal. The holding hands thing to me is so intimate. I only hold my husband's hand.
Correct. I don't hold some random stranger's hand. I don't hold my co-worker's hands. And it's not necessarily the holding the hand. It's in the matter, and what you described to me is that it was under a table. So it was being hidden. If you are okay with holding her hand and there was no backlash, why didn't you just do it in public?
Right.
You felt guilty about it, which is why you had to hide it. Because somewhere in your psyche, both of them knew something was wrong about them holding their hands.
Right. And how do we feel about the co-star?
So, you know, look, is she single?
Yeah, but he's a married man.
Yep. And that's his cross to carry, not hers. He's the cheater, not her.
Right. I think that, you know, whoever she is, and I don't recognize her name whenever I just read it, but the last thing you ever want to be is just the girl that Justin Timberlake had an affair with, because your name will forever be tainted.
Exactly. And that will be her cross to carry.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. If it's heading for a divorce, we'll all know it sooner than later. I think that Jessica Biel has always kind of been quiet and out of the social media camera lens. And so whatever she's doing, hopefully she's planning accordingly, right? Maybe give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe this is the first time. Maybe it was a mistake. But like you said, start thinking about what if it's not.
Right. Just step back.
Right.
It's very simple.
Well, we'll see. Poor fucking Justin Timberlake. Oh, well, I don't even think that fucker's good looking. Do you?
No, I've never had a thing for that curly haired.
Yeah, it reminds me of ramen soup.
It does, doesn't it? So whenever I think of Justin Timberlake, all I think about is NSYNC.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Were you an NSYNC fan?
Yes, I was.
Not a Backstreet Boys fan?
Nope, I love the Backstreet Boys too. I was not a one or the other.
Oh, you weren't? Because most people like one or the other more.
Nope, I liked them both.
Oh, I own every single Backstreet Boys album. And I honestly think that they're better than the fucking Beatles.
No, they're not.
I mean, I would put the amount of hits and records that they have compared to the Beatles over 20 years compared to the Backstreet Boys. I got into an argument with my husband about this, but I love the fucking Backstreet Boys. NSYNC was okay. I like Joey Fatone, the chunkier Italian one.
Hence the 11-inch dick.
Exactly. You know, I've never dated an Italian, but for some reason, I just find their confidence so attractive.
Yes, absolutely.
I love it. So, and Italians can be big, fat dudes too, which that's me being a hypocrite.
But and that's part of their culture.
Right, they are. It's like the mom, feed them the meatballs, feed them the pasta, and then the girls got to fit it up.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, hey, let's talk about this movie that's coming out soon. Bombshell, that is starring Charlize Theron, Nicole yep. Kidman, and Margaret Robbie, and co-produced by Charlize Theron. It's about the takedown of Roger Ailes uh-huh. and the Fox Network.
Yep.
What do you think about it? What do you know about it? Tell me. So, get us started.
Okay. So I did a little bit of back research. First of all, one of those characters you mentioned, Robbie or whatever, is a fake character. And so they had to make a twist because apparently just the white females taking down the, the mongrel, Roger Ailes, wasn't enough. They had to add in their own twist.
Yeah, so let me explain that a little bit. So Gretchen Carlson, who is a former Fox News host, is being played by Nicole Kidman. Megyn yep. Kelly, which most of us know from the big Trump scandal, and she was a major Fox broadcaster along with NBC. Charlize Theron is playing Megyn Kelly. And then Margaret Robbie is playing a junior Fox News staffer who is a fictional character. Now, what they did do with this character is she is a compilation of all the other women that were in this lawsuit against him. So they right, didn't then, just
right, they, didn't they just made her make lesbian. Her,
yeah, but they didn't just make her up. They made her from a bunch of other women that they could not name because they've all signed NDAs.
Okay.
I thought that was pretty interesting because the fact that they gave this woman, Margaret, and I don't know what her fictional name is they gave the women that don't have the money and power that Gretchen Carlson and Megyn Kelly have, the women that make less money, that don't have the career and history that the other two powerful women have, they gave her those women a voice rather than just making it about Megan and Nicole Carlson.
Right.
So what don't you like about her being a lesbian?
Well, from what I was reading, it was trying to put this other spin on it to make it more relevant than the actual thing. Look, you should be portraying who was actually there. You don't need a fictional character. It's mm-hmm. based on a real story. You add in fictional characters, you're changing the dynamic of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, stick to your story. The story's supposed to be good enough to make this movie, then you stick to it.
Right. I wonder, though, if one of the other women involved in the case was a lesbian. And if that's why. Right. Because, I know of... So, there was this case where a friend was raped, right? And she was in the military, and at that time, it was don't ask, don't tell.
Correct.
And she was raped by a man. And she could have easily said, hey, I'm a lesbian and didn't want that dick to begin with. But couldn't say that.
Correct. She could not.
So I kind of like the twist of where men would just assume because she's a pretty blonde
mm-hmm.
that she's not a butchy lesbian that people think in their mind. And of course she would want me in some way, you know?
Right.
So I kind of like that twist. I do wonder if that part was just made up, though. I mean, there's so many other women involved that we'll never know the answer to that.
Right. And, you know, you talked about how the other women didn't have, you know, money or right. the potential to be in this. And I don't really feel that's true because I don't know if you know, but Gretchen Carlson got $20 million from that lawsuit.
She did, yeah.
So what did these other women get? Well, and why was that not money distributed among all the plaintiffs?
Yeah, so I don't know how much all the other women got. And I'm not talking about the settlement afterwards. I'm talking as a 27-year-old woman only making $60,000 a year or $40,000 a year and right. being scared that if they say something, they're going to lose this opportunity they have and be without a job compared right. to Megyn Kelly that was already in a primetime spot or Nicole, Gretchen Carlson, who was already in a primetime spot, who could be fired. I mean, look, Megyn Kelly was fired and she left Fox News and got an even better job. But there's a lot of women that aren't in those positions and might never work again. Gretchen Carlson has never worked again.
No, she hasn't had to. She had two bestseller books afterwards.
But saying that she hasn't had to is kind of a put down. Like, she's a woman that was in a very powerful career moving forward. For us to say, well, you don't have to. Well, maybe she wanted to. No, maybe she was very passionate about what she was doing and has never been able to get a job since then.
But she has. That's what I'm saying. She's written two bestsellers because of this. She's been on documentaries. She has been on TED Talks. Lifetime picked her up. And she got $20 million.
Yeah, but the documentary and Lifetime just happened in this past year. So I just, you know what I'm saying is that we tell people to say something, do something, but then they're scared of the consequences of what happens. Because then, look, they are told, well, you were so pretty, you wore this, you wore that. Did you ask for it? Did you not want it?
Right. And I agree with that part, right?
Right. And then to say to her, like, well, didn't you get enough? Well, no, maybe her career goals were more than that.
Agreed. Maybe they were. Here's where I find the problem. So everyone, we have a Me Too movement. We're talking about quitting, you know, fighting sexual harassment in the workforce place and all of this sort of stuff, right? That is what we're all about.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the movement's about.
Right.
Then why did she take the money? Why didn't she take him to court to have him serve time in jail? He paid her off. The companies paid her off and went on about her business. And this is why they continue to do what they do.
Well, he didn't continue to do what he did because he stepped down from his job and power. And I think there is more than anything, I think there's an argument against her for signing an NDA because then it restricts the outcome, right? Where we would have had some victory in the overall outcome, and why make a big deal about it and then sign an NDA? However, if you're never able to work again and $20 million is all you got, then she was worth more to begin with. I mean, there's some of these Fox News broadcasters and talk show hosts that make more than $20 million a year. $20 million to her might not be fucking nothing for a career that could span another 20 years.
Agreed. I get that. And I understand that. So she only took a fraction of what she was worth. And then the guy still didn't serve any time for committing a crime.
Yeah, but that's to say, would any of them serve any time? Matt Lauer's never served any time. Michael Jackson never served any time. R. Kelly is still trying to get. So would they have ever served any time?
But if you don't go to a trial and you settle out, you don't get that opportunity to see if he would or would not serve time. And then to see if there's the issue in a justice system.
Mm-hmm.
But do you see what I mean? They're really not $20 million to this guy wasn't probably nothing. And it was only a fraction of what she was worth. So if you were so angry about your career being demolished, you can't ever work again, and you're not going to be able to do what you wanted to do because this guy took advantage of you, why wouldn't you take him all the way? Mm-hmm. Why settle out at $20 million if your career is worth $100 million?
Right. So you fault her for taking money.
I don't fault her. I'm saying is if we're trying to make a society better about stopping the sexual harassment, getting paid out is not going to stop the problem. Consequences, real hard consequences are going to stop it.
And so if jail hasn't happened across the board for most of these people, I can't think of anybody that I know that has been sent to jail for sexual harassment, and you go to HR and you tell it and you end up losing your job anyways. Miss John Peabody doesn't go to jail. You're left without a job and a way to care for your children.
Mm-hmm.
What are you left with?
Right. And I get that part. But then that's when we need to organize something and go back against the judges and try to fix the judicial system that allows these people to get away with it. Yeah, judges are voted in.
Right. So I'm not mad at the women at all for taking money for it. Not at all, because I think that they have to be able to protect themselves for what happens next. And most of the time, most of them lose their jobs, which is obviously what has happened here. I personally don't fault them for taking any money. What I do think is interesting, and what I've read about this movie, is that none of them are depicted as heroes. So yes, this is a movie about three women that are essential in taking down Fox News and something that's been happening for decades, and Roger Ailes. But not a single one of them during this movie is shown to be a hero, because there is a part of it that talks about the fact that, like, Megyn Kelly was interviewed and said, which she wasn't involved in the film at all, it had happened to her 10 years prior. She had gone to a meeting with Roger Ailes. He tried to kiss her. She said no. He tried to kiss her again. She said no. He then asked her when her contract was up and then tried to kiss her again. And she said no.
Okay, good.
She went to a supervisor. The supervisor told her that he was a really nice guy and not to worry about it and that he wouldn't do it again. And for the next 10 years of her life, he never did it again. And that she was known for speaking on his behalf, because he did mentor and promote her based on merit after that, and continued to promote her after that. What they talk about in the movie is that for those 10 decades where Megyn Kelly did not go above her supervisor, is that there was 10 years worth of other women being sexually harassed by this man. And the same thing with Gretchen Carlson. She did not notify or report him until after her contract was up. Her contract was up like in June, and she reported in July.
Okay.
So I like that they point out that because they didn't do something immediately, it continued to allow it to happen. I also like that they describe the fact that Megyn Kelly was one of the last people to join the lawsuit. Gretchen Carlson was the one who started it. And then these other women jumped on, junior anchors, all these other things. And that they made sure to show it that she didn't do it based out of sisterhood.
Okay.
Those women were not sisters. They did not support each other. They were pinned against one another, rarely even spoke to one another. She did it more out of the morality of it, that she saw the report, saw the accusations, saw the majority of Fox News and the network saying this isn't true, and that she knew that it was.
So you're saying Megyn Kelly joined out of the morality of it.
Right. That once the reports came out and that she knew it was true, she could either A, keep it to herself and say nothing, and continue to make her money and move on, or she could support the women and make the right decision this time around, 10 years later, make the right decision and say, hey, wait a minute, this did happen. And I know it happened because it happened to me.
So do you think Gretchen Carlson only did it because her contract was up and she was out of a job?
I think that she played that card as best as she could, that she knew that if she went against the head of Fox News, that she was going to lose her job. And so that when her contract was up, that she was strategic about it. Yes, I think that, and I don't blame her for that, again, because you have to make sure that you're protecting yourself. And if that includes financial protection for you and your family, then you have to do what you have to do. We can't ask anybody to be a fucking martyr on our behalf and then fault them when they don't.
Okay. I mean, I can see your point, as long as, and I like how you said, the movie doesn't make them a hero, because Gretchen Wilson wasn't a hero.
Carlson, yeah.
Carlson, yes. Wasn't a hero. Now you got me saying it wrong.
I know. So why don't you think she was a hero? Because I honestly, even though the movie doesn't depict them all as heroes, individual heroes, I do think the women of Fox News as a whole, I do see them as heroes. Gretchen, Megyn Kelly, and all the other 15 plus women as heroes, because they got him out of a place of power and they changed the direction and what's allowed at Fox News. And Fox News paid, let's be honest, Roger Ailes didn't pay the money, fucking Fox News did. And they paid a lot of money to say, all right, we better make sure this shit never happens again.
Right. And I like the outcome. Let's not get that twisted. Okay. Yeah. I don't. But for them to go and say, oh, I was taking the moral high ground, this was abuse and all of, you know, I'm a martyr. No, you're not a martyr, because right. Gretchen waited till her contract was up. She didn't have a job. And so now she's like, well, I got this piece of info. Let's expose it. Mm-hmm. Megyn Kelly benefited from this guy for 10 years, got promoted.
Oh, no, God, that sounds terrible. She didn't fucking benefit from him, Tabby. She earned her position on her own.
But then you just said he kept promoting her.
I mean, that was his job, but he didn't do that because she was doing anything that she wasn't supposed to do. She was promoted based on merit. So okay, she didn't benefit from him. That's so awful.
Why didn't they try at that point to leave and go to another network?
I don't know. You know, why I don't know the answer to that.
You know, that's it's and I am not at all in support of Roger Ailes. Let mm-hmm. me just go ahead and clarify that at all. I am not. What he did was inappropriate. It was horrific. And I am totally against it. Right. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, these women are not martyrs. If they went out and said, you fucking try to kiss me, you disrespected me, and I'm going out about it now, there's a difference. But you waited 10 years, and you waited until it was the right moment to come out about it, and you financially profited from it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have a hard time with that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to use sexual harassment to make a profit.
Right.
You don't. You fucking kissed them. You should have been looking for another job somewhere else at a different network.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't doing that.
And like, what if Fox News is where they wanted to be? I mean, Fox News is a conservative station and that's where they wanted to be.
Why would they want to be there if they're the owner is so against their own morals and ethics? Why would you want to be somewhere that portrays the toxic culture that you're against?
That so doesn't make any sense. Shouldn't they change the culture, though? I mean, I feel like you're...
I agree, but you should...
Like, to say to a woman, like, well, why did you stay? Well, that was her right to have a job there that a man wasn't trying to kiss her at. That's why she stayed.
Okay.
And to say that she could get a job somewhere else, well, she shouldn't have to. Fox News should have, her first supervisor, like one of the people, rather than blaming Megyn Kelly, to me, like 10 years prior to that, when a younger junior anchor came to her supervisor and said he did this, that supervisor should have escalated it forward. But for absolutely. That supervisor to say, don't say anything, it's really not that big of a deal, it's okay, that's
wrong. And at that point, that is when this shit should have escalated instead of 10 years later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I hear what you're saying. I don't agree with it, because I think that it becomes a dangerous field of, well, you know, it's you stayed, which, I mean, God, there's so many women in different type of relationships that stay for different reasons. They have a family to protect. They have a career to protect. They have a character assassination that they might be scared of. I mean, me myself, I worked for an employer that said bad derogatory things about women all the time. I also respected him because I did learn a lot from him, and I would just, whatever he said, just take it underneath the whatever. It's whatever it right. is. It's not affect. I'm going to be all right. I could have made a big fucking deal about it, but I also have a family I need to finance. And I think that this, my fear about this movie is that women aren't going to support it. And unlike Charlie's Angels, which I could give a shit about, something like this is important for us. this is an important takedown of somebody that was very powerful. And it's a big moment of time in the film and news industry that it took down a fucking mogul, as it should have. And he's lost all of his respect now because now everybody knows what he's done.
Right.
And I think that that makes this movie very powerful and a moment that, like, for me personally, I'm going to go and watch it and support all of it. Like, I've seen clips of the moment that Roger Ailes advances on the Margaret, or what's her name, Margaret Robbie character, and it's said to be very, very uncomfortable. And to know that most or some of us have been in that position of advancements that we did not ask for and did not want, but did not know what to say, I just feel like it's a powerful moment that needs to be watched and addressed. And we're not far from that still. The sexual harassment is not over with. It's not done by any means.
No, and it's not.
Oh, I just fear, like, this movie, like, I wonder, one of my questions on here is, do I think it's going to be successful? And I think that it's 50-50. I think it might be a movie, depending on the acting and how it's portrayed, that might be successful in the award circuit of movie and film, but might not show it in the box office numbers, because I don't think that people will support it the way that they should.
Okay. Well, I have to see it, you know what I mean, and see what, how they take it and portray it. And like I said, I am no fan of Roger Ailes. What they did was completely wrong. I just have my opinions, as which they are, as far as you shouldn't be profiting off of sexual harassment and timing. Do you know what I mean? You want to be a martyr, you be a fucking martyr. You stand up. You go, this is fucking wrong right here, right now, at this moment. And then you stand up. You don't wait till it's convenient. Mm-hmm. That's not right.
Well, and I think, like I said, I think that the film, according to this article that I have, is, where is this even from? I don't know. It didn't print on here. Said that that's what they do talk about, is that it is very obvious that they point out the fact that these two women waited so long. And so then there's a decade more of women being sexually harassed by this man.
Right. Which may have been prevented had they spoken up right then and there.
Right. The difference being, though, maybe it wouldn't have. Maybe they would have been junior anchors that would have been fired and let go, compared to two major names of two powerful women who at this time were probably in the top two most powerful women at Fox News, the most successful powerful women, to have made a bigger difference, right? If it's just a bunch of junior anchors, it might have never amounted to anything. Just the same as if it's just a bunch of secretaries, it's not going to amount up to anything. If it's an exec or CEO in a female position, she's going to carry more clout and more respect.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we'll never know.
We'll never know. Right.
Right.
Now, because the way today is, you can go on anywhere and preach your message.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be a TV. There's YouTube, Facebook, all types of different social media. You could have got your message out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think, so I watched an interview with Charlize Theron where she said, you know, it talked a little bit about, like, should this movie be teaching women to what to do if you're in these uncomfortable or inappropriate situations? And she said, it shouldn't be about teaching women. We shouldn't be in these positions to begin with. That the men have to learn to stop doing this.
But how is the man learning to stop doing this in the film? What is the
consequences, right?
What was the consequences? He got fired and he had to pay $20 million.
Well, he didn't, I don't think he paid money, but what he did lose was a big fucking income, and he's never going to be hired again by another network. Same with Matt Lauer. We haven't seen him jump up anywhere, right? Weinstein, we haven't seen him jump up anywhere, is that they lose their power and their income. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we've come far enough where men have truly stopped. I was in a position a few weeks ago where some man said to me, like, oh, hey, don't take offense to this, but I really miss the good old days when we could slap women on their asses and not get in trouble about it in the workplace. And I was like, I do take offense to that because yeah. that's not okay. I've also heard in the last few years of, well, how can you be in this position at this, whatever job it was? And I was like, what are you talking about? I mean, why, and this was a girl saying it to me, a younger female in her 20s, and said, well, we don't wear the right shoes to be in that position. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, those positions are only held by men at our office.
A 20-some year old.
Right. But this was 2 years ago that within that office, they're only promoting men and women were being kept at this other position. So I think we're making moves, and the more that we keep talking about it and the more that we keep pushing our men to be better, then yes. we don't have to prepare ourselves and we don't have to make the choice between job and money and this and that to have to be put in these positions to make a choice, right?
Right. And I agree.
It really should be men fixing them. Yep. So when I was looking up reviews to the movie, too, I've heard that some of the acting falls flat on Nicole Kidman's side, who plays Gretchen Carlson. So, again, like, I don't want to 3 months from now when she's not nominated for a best actress say, oh, see, that's just not them giving her. What I've read of the reviews is because they're trying to push so many stories into 2 hours. You lose a connection mm-hmm. to some of these women. So, you know, we have to be careful of supporting the film, supporting the storyline, but also saying whether or not it was good acting or not is still up for interpretation and opinions at this point.
Right. Just because the story was a good storyline doesn't mean you automatically win.
Right. So I'm excited. I will go and watch the film. I've always been a fan of Megyn Kelly's. She is hit or miss for me sometimes, but overall a fan of hers. So I want to go and see the film. I also work in the corporate world, and I think that this is important and a big moment in their time, in the network's time. And I'm going to go and watch it. I'll let you guys know what you see. You're probably not going to watch it because I know you hate the prices at a movie theater.
Yeah, that's fucking ridiculous.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So, hey, let's end this really quick on one more topic. Did you see that somebody ate a fucking banana that was worth $120,000?
Yeah, I saw that. That's fucking ridiculous. Why is a banana worth $120,000? Was it, like, covered in gold or some shit?
It was literally just duct taped to a fucking wall and right. listed as $120,000 was the asking price. And it also said that it was meant to be replaceable because, let's be honest, the banana is going to rot. So then you take it down and you tape up enough. How is that fucking art?
That's not. That's a cheap way to make some money, I guess. I don't
and
know.
And how? No. It
Who
well,
would
it's,
pay?
Two people paid, Tabby. It says an Italian two? Artist sold two editions of this piece for $120,000 each and then negotiated a third sale to a museum for $150,000. It is literally a banana duct taped to a fucking wall. You know what that is? Too much fucking money.
Wow.
That is rich people with too much fucking money.
Yeah.
I don't even buy organic bananas because I think they're expensive.
Right? Oh my gosh. Like, what is the... So did they, like, explain the meaning behind the fucking banana? Like, what the art is supposed to be?
No. And then it said in September, for $1 million, an 18-karat gold toilet was sold. Listen, I get art is supposed to be left up to interpretation, but when are we crossing the line? I think the banana crosses the line.
So wait, did you just say something about a toilet being worth $1 million?
Yes, $1 million toilet as artwork.
So literally the shitter is $1 million. Literally shit away $1 million.
And they made it out of gold. I mean, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. No, the banana is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Especially says the artwork comes with instructions that the banana should be replaced as necessary. So not
so
only
you
do
buy
I have
the
to
banana to replace
right?
it.
Right. So not only how long does a banana last? Days on the counter.
So now I got to replace it to keep the artwork alive? And I already paid $150,000. It doesn't come with the fucking bananas?
Right, like a lifetime pick of bananas.
For $150,000, you could have at least given me 3 weeks worth of fucking bananas. Now that you can afford it.
Right. And let's not forget the fact. Right. Lynn, let's not mention the fact that every time you pull off the duct tape, you're messing up the adhesive to the top layer. So you're going to have to replace the banana and eventually the duct tape. So what the fuck did you just buy? If that's the case, I have shit for sale for anybody who wants to buy it. I will duct tape. I don't know what I have that's worth $100. I don't know. I'm not talking to myself.
Your house? Yeah, is your house worth $150? You could duct tape that.
I can't duct tape that. I know, I can't duct tape it. So I'm speechless about it. That is an excess of wealth. So
yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's terrible. So all right, well, if anybody wants to know what I want for Christmas, it's not a $120,000 banana that's definitely going to stain my paint on my wall as it becomes brown and moldy.
I'm totally going to fucking send you a banana now.
Right. At our ladies' dinner next week, I expect a banana and a roll of duct tape in my gift bag. You just wrote it down, you bitch.
I'm writing this shit. I did.
Do not
do
it. Bananas come to my house to die. Don't do that.
I know. I'm sending it to its death.
So, all right, everybody. We're going to wrap it up here. We hope that everybody is doing great, getting through the holidays, continuing it on with Whamageddon. If you go to see the movie Bombshell, please let us know what you think of the overall message of it. If we hit or miss on any points, how you feel of the Peloton commercial, and if you're interested in our weight loss healthy challenge accountability group that we want to create, and if you're going to go look for that 11-inch Italian in Boca that Tabby directed me in the right position for. So
please show us your pictures of the 11-inch Italian.
I wanted to take a picture of those guys, but I was so embarrassed.
You should have. It would have been awesome.
I know. So, all right. So, rants, complaints, opinions, topic discussions, please email us at notasafespacepodcast@gmail.com.
Yep, that's right.
Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and we will see you guys next week.
All right. Bye, guys.
Talk to you guys later.